Drop the Puck in Seattle. With the Kraken set to start later this year, Sports Radio 950 KJR has you covered with Ryan S. Clark from The Athletic.
He scores! Oh, what a goal by Paul Giroux!
Brought to you by Cascade Ice Water. Looking for a caffeine kick? Try a refreshing 16-ounce can of Cascade Ice Sparkling Water with 160 milligrams of organic caffeine.
Unbelievable effort from Sidney Crosby, and you can lock the doors and turn out the lights.
Now with Ryan S. Clark, here's Ian Furness.
Welcome back in. Ian Furness with you, Sports Radio 950 KJR on this Wednesday afternoon. And, of course, the home of your Seattle Kraken. And every day at this time, every Wednesday, I should say, at this time, check in with our good friend Ryan S. Clark from The Athletic. He is the Kraken beat writer for The Athletic, theathletic.com. I'll just give your publication, your employer, a plug here, Ryan, because as we come at you, brought to you by Cascade Ice Water, caffeinated, non-caffeinated, our good friends at Cascade Ice Water. You can find it in grocery stores throughout the area. As we get ready for the NHL trade deadline, I'm going to tell you, I think The Athletic does such a great job with really all the sports they cover. The NHL page, if you just go tab on, you know, click on the NHL tab, there is so much good content. I found myself immersed for almost 2 hours this morning reading various articles and columns. I really don't care about the St. Louis Blues, and yet I spent 10 minutes reading about the St. Louis Blues. That's how good and compelling the content is. And now we are close to the trade deadline. So I want to get into that a little bit today, Ryan, because Seattle's not technically a franchise yet until they finish off. I think they pay at the end of the month their whatever their final payments are, and then they actually have an expansion draft in July. But believe it or not, they're very much involved in the trade deadline, aren't they?
No, they very much are, because, I mean, it goes back to something our Pierre LeBrun reported, which was Ron Francis has been talking to people, and it makes total sense, because if you're a team at the deadline right now, and let's say you're looking for someone, let's say a defenseman like Brandon Montour is someone who he's really interesting in that he can solve a lot of needs, but at the same time, he's a UFA, so you don't have to worry about it. Whereas if you're looking at Matthias Ekholm in Nashville, Matthias Ekholm has a really team-friendly sort of contract, and he's someone that I believe has, what, one more year left on his deal. But the thing is, if you take on Matthias Ekholm, that's one more player in the expansion draft that you've got to look at protecting. So you're calling around to someone like Ron Francis to say, hey, I have this hypothetical. And if you're Ron Francis, you say, well, this is what I do in this hypothetical. And so it keeps teams in check, but at the same time, it gives Ron Francis some really important leverage in terms of how he wants to build this team and what's going to be available to his disposal when the expansion draft arrives.
I want to get into that a little deeper, and we'll use some examples and let people kind of take them behind the curtain. I know there's a lot of different layers to it. Let's do this for a second, though, because I think there are many listening right now that we hear the term expansion draft, and you know it's July 21st. It's 2 days before the entry draft, which is for the amateur players, the juniors and the college players, Europeans, etc. But the expansion draft, in which Seattle will draft players off of all the other 30 teams, not including Vegas, so 31, but not including Vegas, so it's 30 teams. They'll draft a player from those teams throughout the league, and they'll stack their roster with veteran NHL players. We should go through some of the basic rules. I'll go through those real quick, and I want you to kind of let people know the ones to really kind of keep an eye on what jumps out to you, because we've seen expansion drafts, Ryan, the last few years here in Seattle with MLS. Major League Soccer seemingly expands almost every year, and the Sounders lose a guy almost every year. How does that work? Well, for the NHL, it's pretty simple. NHL teams can protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie, or 8 total skaters, forwards and defensemen, and 1 goalie. The players, and this is the key here, the players have to have no movement clauses. In other words, they can't have a no-trade clause, for example, in their contract. If you're a first- or second-year player or a professional or an unsigned draft pick, you are not eligible for the expansion draft. Also, if you're going to be an unrestricted free agent, you're not eligible for an expansion draft pick. What did I hit? What did I miss? And what would you want to expand on there?
That's the gist of it, but like, let's look at the no movement clause, because for some teams that's going to be really, really important. And an example of that would be the Minnesota Wild. So the Minnesota Wild have 5 players: Jonas Brodin, Zach Parise, Jared Spurgeon, Ryan Suter, and Matt Zuccarello, who all have no movement clauses. And what that means is the Wild have to be very particular about what format they want to use to protect players. So, like, let's say they protect 8 skaters and 1 goaltender. So 5 of those spots are already taken, which means they've got to choose between protecting 3 of the next 5 players. Well, 6 players, excuse me. Matt Dumba, Joel Eriksson-Ek, Kevin Fiala, Victor Rask, Carson Soucy, and Jordan Greenway. Or let's say they decide to protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goaltender. If you go that route, a lot of the players we just named, they are going to be forwards. But of the defensemen that are going to be available, like Matt Dumba or Carson Soucy, they're going to be potential options for the expansion draft. And so the thing is this, like if you're the Minnesota Wild, for as talented as Matt Dumba is, everyone is trying to save money in this flat cap era. And Matt Dumba makes $6 million over the next 2 years. Carson Soucy makes $2.75 million. So if you are Ron Francis, this is where you have leverage if the Wild go that 7-3-1 format. You can take Carson Soucy, and you're going to get a strong defenseman who does a lot of things at a cheap price. But you also know that Bill Guerin and the Wild are trying to move money. So that way, if you say, if you want me to take Matt Dumba, what else are you going to give me to take Matt Dumba? Which, again, it might seem bizarre to say, I need you to sweeten the deal to give me a proven top 4 defenseman. But given that everyone is conscious about money, it's one example of the leverage someone like Ron Francis would have with the current deadline as it relates to not only the trade deadline, but the actions leading up to the expansion draft.
And we'll just, like Spurgeon, for example, we'll use him. He played in Spokane. A lot of people know him. Diminutive defenseman that's ended up carving out a great career in the NHL and a really top-flight player. I think he's their captain, if I'm not mistaken, this year, or maybe an alternate captain.
Yes.
But you look at Spurgeon. So because he has a no-trade clause, he has to be one of the guys that's protected. And so that...
No movement, yes.
Right,
no
yeah. Movement. Yeah. Yeah, no movement. So that just takes... If the more no-movement clauses you have on a roster, the more restricted you are as a GM, and you are bound to be leaving some guys exposed. I want to go back to, we'll make a couple examples in a second. I want to paint a couple pictures for people. Ryan Clark joining us, courtesy of Cascade Ice from The Athletic, talking all things NHL as we get ready for the Kraken season. We do it every Wednesday. Let me go look at the numbers for a second and give our listeners a view, because I think a lot of us deal in terms of NFL money. All right, so quarterback money is $30+ million, but a significant contract in these days in the NFL is basically a $10 million salary cap hit or up. What is a significant hit in the NHL? What's when do teams start getting uncomfortable because a player is getting paid X? What is that X?
You can argue right now with the flat cap, every contract. No, there are just some executives in the league you talk to, and they're just like, man, this guy with $1.5 million is killing us right now. And
right.
Like, that's okay. But in all seriousness, you could argue between that 5 and 7 range.
Okay.
Because
okay.
With 5 to 7, the expectation is if you're a forward, you're a top 6 forward, you can do a lot of different things. If you're a defenseman making 5 to 7, that means you're typically one of the best defensemen in the league. So let's go with that 5 to 7 range, because if you're making north of 7, you better be good. And if not, you are an albatross that definitely impacts what a team can do going forward.
And just for people understand this, the salary cap, how stringent is it even in this, you know, especially this goofy year? I'm not sure who the team was. Was it... I'm not sure off the top of my head. It might have been, it wasn't Colorado, was it, man, who was it? Somebody the other night.
Are you thinking of Tampa?
Did they dress 16 skaters, which is 2 under the limit.
Oh,
because they were
yes.
up against the cap. Was it Tampa or was it somebody else the other night that had to do that because they were up against the cap that night?
Believe.
Doesn't even matter.
I know who you're talking about, but yes, the point is this. So what Ian is talking about is right now with the flat cap, for those who are new to this. So every year the NHL salary cap typically goes up a little bit. But because of COVID, the fact that there's not fans coming into the building, which generates a significant chunk of the revenue that the NHL makes, the agreement is to have a flat salary cap, which
right.
means it stays at $81.5 million. Well, in some cases, there are deals that before the cap was instituted – you look at it and say, oh, we're going to have the room to not only sign this person, but we're going to have some flexibility to do some things. Well, now those pre-existing deals have made it in a lot of ways more complicated to really look at the future and say for your team what's feasible and what isn't feasible. And so with what Ian is talking about, there is a team the other night, and I feel horrible because it escapes me as well, that they could only dress 16 skaters because the way the salary cap in the NHL works is essentially you have to be able to put a team on the ice that is cap compliant for that day. And it's a daily cap that works. And for that day, a team wasn't compliant, so they couldn't even dress a full roster.
I think it was Vegas. It was
Vegas. I believe it was Vegas.
It was Vegas, because I thought about Vegas.
Because Vegas has been going through, like, injury issues, and anyone who's followed the Golden Knights this season, they know, like, this is a team that, you know, is an interesting example for the Kraken for a lot of reasons. But the big one is this. Like, they started off as this team where it's like, oh, wow, they're going to be new and they're going to have cap space. And now when you look at their projected cap hit, according to Cap Friendly, it is $82.322445 million. It's enough of a percentage over the cap to where they've got to be smart about, like, what they do and kind of how they spend money. But the point is this, like, that is how constricting the cap is. It's like it can affect even who you put on the ice and who you can't put on the ice from one day to the next.
Seahawks fans, I'll give you this little example. We've used this before. Three or four years ago, when the Seahawks had Dwight Freeney, and he was released by Indy, and he came in, he was their best pass rusher for two games, and they had to cut him after that because they were up against the cap, and that $150,000 for that week or what have you, Seattle couldn't stomach it. So they had to go down and drop down and pick up a guy off the practice squad and cut Dwight Freeney, even though at the time he was their best pass rusher. So, yeah, it's the hard cap is as hard as can be. Ryan S. Clark joining us here from The Athletic. All right, let's go with this for a second. So we're talking about how Ron Francis, even though Seattle doesn't, you know, technically isn't playing yet, doesn't have a roster yet, they will be involved in next Monday's, right, Monday's trade deadline. And, for example, when Vegas came into the league, the trade deadline before, Vegas worked out a deal with Pittsburgh that had to be approved by the player because he had a no-movement clause that he was going to get moved during the summer to Vegas, and that was Marc-Andre Fleury. Maybe you could kind of walk us through that and how that could maybe be something that we won't know anything about it until July, but how Seattle could be working deals like that.
Sure. So the backstory with the Fleury trade was this. Pittsburgh was in a situation where, like, all teams that compete, like we discussed last week with the Chicago Blackhawks, like, for as talented as they are, it's expensive to keep teams like that going. And so in Pittsburgh's case, one, you're not only looking at how do you, I guess, build a team where you're financially compliant, but two, you had a younger goaltender and Matt Murray,
yeah,
who was still on his entry-level contract. And so if you are the Pittsburgh Penguins, you're trying to find a way to make this work to where you can get the cheaper goaltender in Matt Murray, but also you can move on from Marc-Andre Fleury, who at that time had a $5.75 million cap hit. So they worked out a side deal with the Golden Knights, of course, with Fleury's permission that they move him to the Golden Knights in exchange for assets. So that way, Vegas not only has a legitimate starting goalie, but it is someone who fans can say, oh, this person is proven. I've heard of them. They've won cups. And it allows Pittsburgh to continue along this run with someone who is younger, who is cheaper, who they deem as their goalie of the future. And, of course, what ends up happening, he's out with the Ottawa Senators because the Penguins found another goalie who was younger and cheaper. Thus is the story of trying to win in the cap era. But the point is if you're the Seattle Kraken, you're looking at deals like this right now. And so you're looking around and going, okay, what are areas where the pressure points exist? Is it something like what we just talked about with the Minnesota Wild? Mm-hmm. Could it be another team? And that's just it, which the easiest way to really think about the way the Kraken and Ron Francis can be viewed in this trade deadline is like this. Think of it as if you're going to make a decision. But you know at some point you've got to face a consequence. Ron Francis and the Kraken are that consequence. So is it one of those things where you think about it later on, or do you deal with it right now and say, okay, we have a plan, maybe a plan B, a plan C, whatever. So that way when the time comes, it's just, okay, we deal with the consequence and we move on. So that's just it. I'm saying this more to make people laugh, but like, think of it like this. Ron Francis is the person waiting for your lunch money at 12 o'clock. So you have to decide, do you just want to give him your lunch money at 9:30, or do you want to try to see if he could get an extension? But either way, you're going to have to pay him your lunch money.
And you're making moves next week for a variety of reasons. I mean, if you're in it, then you're making a move to try to take a run at it. At the same time, everyone has that thing hanging over their head, the lunch money, as you mentioned, hanging over their head, knowing that come July, they're going to be able to protect X number of players, really, in essence, three of your top four defensemen, maybe even less, depending on what you want to do in terms of no movement clauses. And he's going to get you. At some point, he's going to get you, and so you can try to work that deal beforehand. The trade deadline's Monday. It's the 12th. We won't know. I mean, the Marc-Andre Fleury stuff didn't come out until the expansion draft. They did a great job. And today's day and age, remarkable. They kept the lid on that until then. So who knows by the time Monday comes and goes what Ron Francis and the Kraken have done in terms of gathering players. Before I let you go, your opinion, your thought on what's going on in Vancouver and what the league and the Canucks and what should happen. And for those who have missed it, the Canucks are up into the mid-teens right now in terms of players who are either sick, contact tracing, keeping them out, what have you. They are going through easily the worst COVID situation of any professional sports team in any league since this pandemic began. There's talk about them maybe not playing the rest of the year. There's only so many guys you can bring in there because it's Canada. Their farm team's in, all those different things going on. So what do you think should happen with the Canucks?
Well, it starts with one of two things you can assess. The first is, of course, is player health, player safety, and the idea that, again, the priority for a lot of people is just going to be what can be done to make sure that these players, their families, are not only receiving medical treatment, but at the same time, they're allowed to recover at a pace that is comfortable to them. Because, yes, we can talk about hockey games all you want, but at the end of the day, you're talking about a human life. You're talking about someone's husband, someone's father, someone's son, and for their family members, someone's wife, someone's daughter, whomever. The point is, it's just that element has to be, at least you would assume it would be contemplated, because again, this whole pandemic has been a big discussion about how do you view human life? And it's like, well, here's another example of how do you view it? So that is one perspective to look at. As far as the hockey perspective of it, which of course a lot of people are going to say seems minor by comparison, it does raise questions about what do you do if you are the Vancouver Canucks and you are the NHL, because one, you want to isolate this as much as you can, and you don't want other teams coming in contact with the Canucks with this. And so when it comes to what the NHL does and the Canucks, it seems like that's going to be the question that who knows what the answer is going to look like, because every day could change. I mean, maybe they find an answer that works. Maybe it's something that they don't consider now that maybe later on down the road does work. It's just the challenging part in having this conversation, Ian, is the situation is so fluid, because the information that was available a week ago is so different than what's available now. And the information that could be available next Wednesday when we talk could be completely different. So it's really hard to say, but either way, the league and the Canucks are going to be faced with a decision about what is the best thing to do, not only for these players and their families, but at the same time, what is the most responsible course of action they can take? Because here's the reality. Everybody knew that this season was going to be difficult because of the threat of people getting COVID. But now with this new variant of COVID, it's one of those conversations about what do you do to move forward. And considering it's the later part of the year, it's only going to make those conversations even more complicated.
It's so difficult. I mean, they're not a Stanley Cup contender. The one thing from a hockey standpoint, in terms of the Canadian division, they're all playing up north of the border. It feels like they could pack it in and just, as you said, because of the extraordinary circumstances we're in, it almost seems like the prudent thing to do. And then the other hockey element is what we just talked about, the trade deadline. I mean, if you're Jim Benning up there, your hands are tied, in terms of trying to make player moves. I mean, you can't really do anything right now because it's a two-week quarantine to go north of the border, south of the border, what have you, and his two-thirds of his team, unfortunately, tragically, is sick. So it's a messy situation up there. We'll keep an eye on it. And I think what you said at the start is the most important thing, and that's hopefully everyone is healthy and comes out of this okay and healthy as well. That's the scary part.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, when you sit there and you talk about all the people that are infected with this, I mean, you look at the news that came out today that 21 players and 4 staff members have now tested positive for this. I mean, just to give people a perspective, an NHL roster is 23. then you're saying the Canucks have had 21 players and four staff members who have tested positive for this. I mean, at what point, again, if you're the league and you're the Canucks, do you just sit there and have a very real conversation? Because like, you look at the schedule right now. The Canucks' next game is scheduled for April 12th against the Edmonton Oilers. That's 5 days from now. A lot could happen in 5 days. And when Monday arrives, and usually the NHL makes these decisions, you know, days in advance, but what's this going to look like when Monday arrives? Does that game even get played? Do they push it back? And then it becomes a conversation about, well, what do you do with their season? Do you further truncate what's already a truncated season, or what do you do? So, again, it's going to be a question that's going to have an answer that who's to say what that answer will be.
Tough situation up there. Good stuff this week, my friend. Working on stuff, I'm sure, as always. I would just point people to The Athletic, theathletic.com. You can follow Ryan and all the cracking news there. Follow the NHL. You can set up your own individual taste, whatever you like to get. Your different sports, whether it be the Mariners, the Kraken, the NHL as a whole, what have you. It's theathletic.com. My friend, thank you.